Word of God, Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, who is not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away. And I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now, I've told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. And I see only one young person. Would you like to come up? Well, he's become an old man. Welcome. It's good to see you. You know what this building is called, the inside of this is called? What do we usually call it?
Church.
Church. We usually say, we're coming to church, right? But the church, this is just a building. The church, where's the church?
The people.
The people, all of us make up the church. So we have this building, and sometimes they would refer to it as a sanctuary, a place where we can come to get away from trouble. And here we find the way in which we can have life and light. So I brought something along that we got at Synod Assembly. You guys may have to help me with this. I've got some others for other people, but it's one of those things where you get to fold. And one of the things the church is supposed to do is to help people who have special needs and concerns, because if the church is really going to be the church, we have to do more than just say we're a church, we're a building, right? So I'm not sure how. I'm not a very good folder. Oh, there's a direction on the back. Isn't that something? Well, where do we get our directions for being the church? The Bible gives us all those directions. And it's a good thing this one here has an illustration of how this is done. But I'm going to let you do that. And I'm not going to even try. At this point, we'll spend all morning doing this and boring people. So I won't try to do that. But help us. I'm going to send this home with you to remind you that we are the church. We're not a building. This is a building that we use as a sanctuary, as a place to worship. But God gives us instructions in His book on how to put this together and what to do, because this one here is for God's global barnyard, and it's for world hunger. So it's kind of like a piggy bank, and you can put some change in there, and we can give it to world hunger. So let's say thank you to God, shall we? Thank you, God, for giving us your body to be part of. Thank you, God, for giving us a sanctuary in which to worship. And thank you, God, that you give us an opportunity to share with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. the service, maybe I can get you guys to help pass these out so other people can have them too. All right?
All right.
The question of the day. What do people need?
Jesus.
They need Jesus. Hey, somebody paid attention last week. And I don't know how many of you even looked at the bulletin. But the sermon title is, People Need the Lord. We need lots of other things. We need sunlight. And we've been blessed the last couple of days with the most beautiful sun we could have. We need food, and we need water, and we need oxygen, we need love. We know all kinds of things, but what we really, at the heart of it all, need is the Lord. Because without the Lord, we don't really have a life that we can live. A friend of mine was telling about going to visit his father, and he was rather upset with his father. When he went to visit him, his father handed him a manila envelope. And when he opened it, it was his father's will, with a phone number for the lawyer, a phone number for the insurance company, and he said, Dad, why are you giving me this? You're not dying, are you? He said, well, we're all dying every day a little bit. But no, I'm not dying right away, but I decided that you needed to know what was my will and what was in it, how to carry things out. Well, in many ways, that's what the Bible is for us, isn't it? It's our way of knowing the will of God. In fact, what do we call the Old
Testament.
Some people are awake. And we call it the New
Testament.
All right, it's God's will and testament. It testifies to who God is and what God is and what God wants for us. Because sometimes we lose sight of what it is God has called us to do and to be. We can go through life wandering around doing all these other things, but sometimes we miss the importance of what God really puts into our lives. There was a large hospital in out east several years ago that had an article about they had an overabundance of babies born in a very short period of time, like inside of 3 days. They had 30 new births. And they said the nursery in that hospital was just chaos because the one baby would start crying and another one would cry, and it was just screaming all over the place. And then one of the nurses had an idea. She recorded the babies of the mother's heartbeat. And when they played the heartbeat, they said it was almost like, oh. And there was silence. Because what the babies were longing for was to hear the heartbeat they had been hearing all the while they were in their mother's womb. Have you considered that that's what our hearts long for also? That we need the Lord. We need to hear and feel the heartbeat of the Lord. And the only way we know that is if we live it. And if we know what the Word of God says about it. We are called to be a part of His body. And that thereby, believe it or not, I don't care how old you are. Did you ever think of yourself as an infant? In God's eyes, we are infants. We are members of the body of Christ, and we are infants who are needing to hear the heartbeat of God, to feel the meaning of God in our lives. And the only way we can do that is if we allow God to be a part of our lives each and every day. Once we realize what God's will is and what God's heartbeat is doing to keep us going, at that point, then we begin to realize that we've been called by God to be more than just pew sitters. Did you catch that? We're not just here to sit in a pew and warm that pew up. We're here to be the body of Christ in the world. It was that call that Paul recognized when he went into Macedonia. He wakes up realizing that God has something for him more to do than just go the way he was going. In fact, to turn his direction 180 degrees to go to Macedonia and there to Philippi, where he preached to the people and, in fact, developed a congregation, one of his favorite congregations in all of his missionary journeys. And there also he met Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. Now, most of us would say, big deal. What's the deal with purple cloth? Well, she was very wealthy because purple was a dye that was extremely expensive. It took tons of a certain seashell that had to be crushed in order to create this this dye. And therefore, the only people who could afford to wear purple were royalty or very wealthy people. So he meets this woman whose heart is open to God. Now think about where we've been. The heartbeat of God is beating in you. The heartbeat of God has called you to be his body right here in Roswell. I'm still partly there in Buffalo. But have you ever considered why in the world, 100 years ago, a pastor would even consider coming to this little podunk town at that time? There wasn't much here. And founding the Danish Lutheran Church. Have you ever considered why he would do a thing like that? And I'm sure it was because of the wealth that he was going to receive, right? No, if you've read the history, you know that isn't the case. Some of the pastors had to raise chickens and cows and anything else that they could supplement their income for. They had the call of God, as Paul did, to come and do what God wanted them to do. But the only way they would know that call is by listening to the heartbeat of God that was leading them on, calling them to do this. And if you think about every pastor who has served here ever since, the same thing is true. You know, yours truly is in the same boat. I ask myself, why in the world would I come to Buffalo, Wyoming, of all places? Because God had a plan for me that wasn't my plan. And that's the way God works in our lives. Sometimes we get so stuck in our own ways that we forget that God has a plan and that we need to go with the flow. Because I'll tell you what, I couldn't have been happier than to have been able to come to Buffalo, Wyoming, to St. Luke's Lutheran Church, to realize what beautiful people you are, what wonderful town this is. I mean, what more could a guy ask for? And yet, God calls each of us in the same way. It may be to serve on the church council. It might be to teach Sunday school. It might be to be a ding-a-ling and play in the bells. It might be to sing in the choir. It might be to serve in the women's group. It might be any number of 100 things that God may be calling us to, but the one thing he is not calling you to is sitting in the pew. I promise you that. God is calling you, every single man, woman, and child, to be a part of his body, alive with the heartbeat of God beating in them, to share with other people, to give them new life and new opportunities. I wonder sometimes what God is calling us to in the future. Because you see, Paul had no clue what he was going to expect in Macedonia. Macedonia, for all he knew, could have been a real bummer. As it turned out, when we go where God calls us and do what God calls us to do, exciting things can happen. Jesus knew that. And so did the Apostle John.
in our reading today, in the second reading, John is in on Patmos. That, you know, that's a devil's island type place where nobody other than John that I know of ever survived. And in this place where he was under horrible conditions, he has this vision of the new Jerusalem. Something new and exciting that is beyond what he normally believes. And I think if you and I are open to the possibility, God has the same thing in mind for us. A vision of what can be beyond what was. Because the life he led, he was in before, was pretty tough. If we're correct in this, he was boiled in oil for his faith and survived. And then sent to this devil's island where they had no food, very little food, very little water, and horrible working conditions in mines. But yet, despite what was in the past, he looked to the future and saw that God was there. God was in the midst of that city. Didn't need to have sanctuary, didn't need a building, because God was their light. And Jesus gives us a new word, his disciples. He's just about ready to go off to Jerusalem, and he knows what's coming. The disciples are still a little uncertain about it, but he says, "My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So, let not your hearts be troubled about this." Wow. Not as the world gives. I was thinking of a little magazine, not magazine, actually, it was a newsletter we used to get. It was called the Cheap Skate Journal. It was just a mimeograph thing that this one family had put together. And it was really kind of neat because it had all these cheapskate ideas. You know, the kind of thing where it shows you how to save money by recycling some things, how to do things in a different way that's not expensive. And the family had a tradition, which was kind of neat. Most of us probably would reject, but it was their tradition. They tried to see, in fact, they had a contest with their family. They would exchange gifts, and their object was to see who could give the cheapest Christmas gift. Well, most of us like to give the best thing that we can possibly give. Theirs was to give the best thing they could possibly give for the least amount of money. And so some of their gifts they got, they would go to garage sales, or they would go to thrift shops, or even the garbage dump. Now, my father was notorious for doing that kind of thing, not the gift giving, but he would take a load of stuff to the garbage dump. But it would be amazing if he didn't come home with a bunch of things in the back of the pickup, too. And he would recycle old stepladders. You know, the kind that you wouldn't want to step one step on? And he would rebuild them and make them so solid it would take a caterpillar to knock them down. And so heavy that you get a hernia just lifting them. But these people would do the same thing with anything they could find that they could make as cheap as they possibly could. And it's just the opposite of what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't go cheap. Jesus says, "I don't give to you as the world gives. No, let not your hearts be troubled by that. I give my all." And that's what Jesus does. He gives us his body and his blood. He gives us his very self for forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life, for the vision of what is to come that is way beyond anything we can think of in this world. You see, God loves the world so much that he gives us that. In a new and perfect package, a perfect gift,
for this time and each time. And as we begin to celebrate 100 years, may we also remember with thanksgiving, but look forward with even greater anticipation to what can be. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 815, I believe it is. I want to walk as a child in the light.